This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin with questions around crime and punishment for juveniles. At hearings today at a state parole board hearing in Natick today, two men who were sentenced to life in prison as juveniles made their case for freedom before a state parole board.
The hearings come in response to a December ruling by the state's highest court that said mandatory life sentences without the possibility of parole are unconstitutional for juveniles. The court cited scientific research showing that young brains aren't fully developed, so aren't always capable of sound reasoning.
The parole board is hearing the case of Joseph Donovan, now 38, who was convicted in the 1992 murder of an MIT student. It's also hearing the case of 37-year-old Frederick Christian, convicted in 1998 for the killing of two men during a drug-related robbery. Although involved, neither Donovan nor Christian did the actual killings. WBUR's Deb Becker has been covering the hearings and joins us now. Hi, Deb.
Hello there, Anthony.
Let's talk first about Joseph Donovan's case, which you've reported on. First of all, remind us of the crime, some of the particulars committed back in 1992.
Okay, so Donovan says that he and two other teens from Cambridge were walking on Memorial Drive when they ran into Yngwie Rausteen and a friend of Yngwie Rausteen. They got into a confrontation. They were sort of mouthing off with each other, and Donovan says that he punched Rausteen for no reason, and he punched him so hard that he actually broke his hand. He said as he was leaning over to try to actually put the joint back into his hand and fix his broken hand, something happened with the other two teens that he was with, and we now know that what happened was that one of the other teens had stabbed Yngwie Rausteen. They all ran, and after that, they were arrested. No one disputes the fact that Donovan was the one who did not stab Rausteen, but because he was involved and he was the only one of age of adult responsibility at the time, because he was 17, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The other two involved, including the stabber, have served sentences and have been released.
So the other two have been released, not the case for Joseph Donovan. So what did he argue today before the parole board? What's his case?
Essentially, what he argued today is that he's been rehabilitated, that he made some stupid mistakes when he was young. He was 17 years old, and he feels that he now, at age 38, is able to reflect on those mistakes, and he's a grown man, and he has been rehabilitated. A big topic of discussion today, Anthony, was his prison disciplinary record. When he first got into prison, he had several instances where he had discipline problems, and he, in fact, was put into solitary confinement three times. For a total of 7 years that he was in solitary confinement. The board asked several questions about those instances in which he was disciplined in prison, and Donovan said, I was 17 years old, I was in a very scary place, I did not adjust well, I felt I had to fight to survive, and I did get into trouble, but he pointed out that he has not been in any incidents in the past 14 years.
Now, Deb, you spoke to Joseph Donovan back in 2012. I want to play a cut from that interview. Here he is talking about being a juvenile. He was 17 at the time when he committed this crime.
The life has been lost, and it was a permanent thing. I don't want to seem that I'm trying to shirk responsibility, but I've done the least in the crime, and I got the most sentence, right? Regardless of that, I don't know if you can really consider a juvenile to be totally responsible for everything that happens, all consequences of an event.
So, Deb, there's Joseph Donovan back in 2012 in an interview with you that he lays out the case pretty succinctly there. What kinds of questions, what kind of pushback was there to that case?
Well, there was some pushback, but I would like to say also that they had a forensic psychiatrist testify today about his evaluation of Donovan and said essentially the same thing, that he wasn't as culpable at that age as an adult might be. He has served his sentence, and the forensic psychologist believes that while he can't definitively say there would never be a risk of anyone being released, he did feel that the risk with Donovan was minimal. And the pushback essentially came from the district attorney's office. There was time during the hearing today for both supporters and opponents to talk. Two prosecutors got up, including the prosecutor who was involved in prosecuting the original case against Donovan, and he said that this wasn't just a simple punch against Rausteen. It was, in fact, an armed robbery that resulted in a murder, and Donovan needs to be held responsible, and he did not feel that Donovan has been held responsible enough. However, the prosecutor did point out that he spoke with the Raustein family last week, and the Raustein family said while they can't forgive Joseph Donovan, they think that he has served enough time, and they said that they feel that there will be closure in their lives if Donovan were released. Mm.
So, Deb, when are we likely to get a decision from the State Parole Board?
Well, there's no time frame. They're not obligated under any time frame at all to issue a decision, but what they'll do is take the information from today's hearing, and they will vote at a separate location at a separate date. That's what we're told. The hearing was very lengthy. It was hours and hours of questioning and testimony. There are six parole board members heard the information today. They will vote. Four of them would have to agree with parole. They need a two-thirds vote. If they do, what's likely is that if they agree, he would be put into some sort of a step-down program or halfway house as part of a transitional release.
All right. That's WBUR's Deb Becker reporting today on state parole board hearings in Natick. Deb, thanks so much.
You're welcome.